Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Most of the world do not believe that there was an actual exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. In fact, most people reject the whole Bible as being just a Jewish fable. Simon Peter addressed that. He said, "We have not followed some or made up some cunningly devised fable." He said, "We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. We heard a voice. We heard the Father speak to us." And so have God's true people. God's true people have heard His voice. He speaks through this word. He doesn't speak audibly, but He speaks very really and very personally to all of His people. Our Lord said, my sheep, not goats, my sheep hear my voice. They do. And we've seen His glory. Not completely, not fully, but we have seen His glory. And all of God's people are going through this exodus. All of God's true people are being brought out of the world. And they want out. We're going to see that all of Israel cried unto the Lord. All Israel. Egypt wasn't crying unto the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. Didn't believe there was a Lord. They liked Egypt just fine. But all of Israel were crying unto the Lord. Look at chapter 14, beginning with verse 5. It was told to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot. He took his people with him. Now, this is the most powerful man on earth, and all of his people, and this nation, the richest nation on earth. That sound familiar? He made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, all the forces he could muster, all the power that was in his hand to go after and do away with these Jews. The captains over everyone, read on. "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Why did he do this? Because the Lord had him do it. I mean, he did what he willed, his evil heart wanted to do and willed to do, but he did that because God left him to his own will. Left him to his so-called free will. Free will hates God and hates God's people and hates the truth. Against the truth. So the children of Israel. Now the children of Israel went out with a high hand. A mighty hand. The hand of God brought them out. Salvation of the Lord. And they all knew it. The Lord brought them out. And they're going to see it. Their whole journey through the wilderness of sin. They're going to see the hand of God in all their lives. Just like we have. Haven't you? Clearly seen the hand of God. You have stories. I have stories. I should be dead many times. Oh, well, you're going to die one time. But I've been through so many things that I look back. God spared my life. Can you look back on things like that? I can't. The hand of God. No other explanation for that. They all came out with a high hand. And all when they were all going out, boy, they were just so happy and so joyful and so full of faith and assurance. And we're out of here. All our troubles were over. 3 days went by. Verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth and before Baal Zephon. All the forces of Pharaoh in Egypt went after Israel. Think about that. They were unarmed. They were unarmed, poor, former slaves. Listen to what our Lord said in John. You go to Ephesians 6, and I'll read to you from John 15. Ephesians 6, you go there. But our Lord said this, now all of Pharaoh and Egypt went after, and all the forces that he could muster went after these people of God. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And again, I remind you that the world, when they say these things are a lie or a fable and all that, they're calling Jesus Christ a liar. Now, who are you going to believe? Who do you believe? I believe Jesus Christ, and I think the world's much of liars. Don't you? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, who cannot lie, said this. He said this. If the world hate you, now this is a private conversation with his disciples. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, like Israel. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. They persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my say, if they believe what I say, they'll keep yours also, but they don't, because they don't know him. And he said in his prayer to the Father, listen to this. He prayed to the Father, not for the world. He's not praying for the world, he's praying for his people. And he said, they are not of the world. Said to the Father, he said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why did Egypt hate the Jews so much? The Jews were just believed God, just received his word. And they said, we believe God. They're not of the world, he said. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. They've got to go through it. But keep them from the evil one. Now, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. We wrestle not. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Where is that found? What is the armor of God? Right here. It's in your hand right now. Put it on. Put it on. Steep yourselves in this word. This is your safety, your protection. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's got everything at his disposal, and he's after God's people. It's not a fable. God's people know this. The children of Israel had a very real adversary that was chasing them, and the world they went through was very real, the temptations of it, and their whole life was spent going through this wilderness and all these temptations. And so it is with God's people. Very real, from God's words, very true, and from our experience. The world doesn't have an adversary, folks. The world is friend with the God of this world. They willingly do his bidding. I did, I know. Willingly did his bidding, follow him, follow the world. We like Egypt just fine. Why y'all want out of this place? God's people, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So take on the armor of God. The world scoffs and laughs about all this Jewish fable, this nonsense, this wives' fable about a devil. And I didn't say this. Men didn't say this. God said it. Jesus Christ said it. And God, and he revealed it to God's people who are born again, going through this world of sin and all these temptations. He's bringing them out, and it's very, very real. Very real. Go back to our text. In verse 10, Exodus 14, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes.
Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Well, whoever doesn't call won't be saved, but will perish. Do you call on the name of the Lord? Is there a day goes by that you don't call on the name of the Lord? There was a time you never called on the name of the Lord, but except to use His name in vain, right? But God, rich in mercy, came, chose you, revealed Himself to you, put within you His Spirit, gave you a new birth, His Word, His promises. You believe God. And therefore, He's your friend and the world's your enemy. It's very real. All cried unto the Lord. Every single Israelite was crying, calling out unto the Lord. Help. Save us from Egypt. Is that you? If we don't call, we're not God's people. If we don't keep calling, we don't keep calling, we're not God's people. I call now more than ever. I'm older now. Surely I've got great faith and assurance and peace and no worries and doubts and fears. Oh, my. Did you hear Brother Roland's message from Ecclesiastes 12? The older you get, you start reverting back to a little child. And your fears come back and all that. And you cry louder than ever. What do babies do when they come out of the womb? What's the first thing to do? Cry. Why? They're in the world. And then the trouble starts. Oh, your troubles aren't over when you're born again. They just begin. Troubles with what? Not with God. Your troubles with God are over. But your troubles in the world. You're a new creature born into this world. You're a stranger in a strange place. A fish out of water. A sheep in the hog pen. Lot in Sodom. Is that you? Is it? They cried. All cried. All cried. Here's what they said. Now, I'm going to make a shocking statement. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Listen, read verses 11 and 12. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore, why hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you, the word we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, we may serve the Egyptian. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptian than die in the wilderness. Better off in Egypt. There's no fight, no trouble. We weren't having any problems. And now we're out here, we got nothing but trouble. Now listen. Listen to me. Let me say this so you'll understand something about these types and pictures. Israel is a type of God's people, chosen of God, called of God, revealed, the truth revealed to them. They were spoken to by God. They were, every single one of them were brought out of Egypt, right? That's a picture of all of God's true Israel. But Israel is not a perfect type of God's people. Do you understand? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. It wasn't the children of the flesh that were God's people, but the promise. There was a remnant in Israel. In fact, Israel mostly represents professing believers, false religion. Judah was the people of God. Israel, 11 tribes worshipped a golden calf. Religion for money. In the name of God. They didn't know God, didn't worship God. 1 out of 12 worshiped the living God and worshiped the Lamb. That's a picture, isn't it? That's you see, no type is perfect. Most of Israel did not go into the promised land. Are you with me? That's the reason I have you, I want you to read all the time 1 Corinthians 10. Don't let a week go by that you don't read it. Hebrews 1 through 4, first four chapters of Hebrews. He uses the Hebrews, the children of Israel, going through as warnings and promises. Oh, don't let us. He said they heard the gospel like we have, didn't they, in Hebrews. Don't let these things slip. Today's the day of salvation. All along it goes through Hebrews 1 through 4. Read that. Please. Please. It's just that serious. Because most of Israel didn't go into promised land. Only two over the age of 20. Two adults. And what does that tell us? That if we don't receive the word as a little child, we're not going to enter the kingdom. In other words, most in here have heard what I'm saying right now thousands of times. John, we need to hear it like it's the first time we've ever heard it. You ever tell your children something? Remember telling your children something when they're real little and they just, oh, really? Oh, and you promise them something? Good. You know, Hannah, we take her on vacation. She was just a little child. She was so excited. Can't wait to get there. How much longer? I mean, we've been in the car 30 minutes. How much longer? Isn't that the way it was when you heard the gospel? How much longer? Oh, it's just too good to be true. This is wonderful. And then you get older. Oh, brothers and sisters. Don't miss Christ. Don't let the world or anybody or anything in this world fool you into missing Jesus Christ. Don't do it. Don't get swallowed up by this world. It's a dangerous play. The God of this world has everything at his disposal and you're easy pickings. What do? Keep calling. Keep crying. Keep believing. Keep looking. Stand still. Sit still. I said I was going to make a shocking statement. You know, David, in Psalm 73, I was going to have you turn there, but we don't have time. In Psalm 73, David is envious of the wicked. You've read it. We all love it, don't we? Because we have the same thoughts. He was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. He said, they don't have troubles like I do. I'm a child of God. I believe God. I've got nothing but trouble, and the world doesn't. He said, I've cleansed my hands in vain. This is all in vain. I said, no, I can't talk like that. I offend those that have gone on before me. I can't do that. He said, then I went into the sanctuary. Then I went into the house of God. And a preacher, God sent a preacher. And he stood up and reminded me of the end. I lost sight of the end. Oh, that they were wise when we consider this, their latter end. It's not how you begin, it's how you end. It's not what you have here, it's what you have laid up there. Have you ever thought, I'd be better off back in the world? I have less trouble. I wish I'd never become a believer. I wouldn't have these troubles. I've had those thoughts. I'll just quit. I'm tired of this struggle. I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of this constant struggle. I'm going to give up and go back and just have my way in the world and have fun. This is hard. Anybody? Be honest. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to be one of the most honest people in here. I quit. I'm going back. I'm just going to give in. Give up. Anybody? And if you can, you will. If you can leave, you will. But if you belong to... Here's the comfort. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you can't. You can't. If you're a sheep, you may fall in the ditch. You may fall to sin. You may fall in the pit again. again, but here's your hope. Here's your confidence. He'll leave the 99 again and come after the one and pick you up out of the ditch. A sheep may fall in the ditch and get filthy, dirty, and look just like a goat. But here's the thing. He hates it. He won't wallow in it. He or she will help. And what's the Lord do? How's He do it? Gospel. Preaching is the power of God. And He comes and pulls you back out of that slime pit. And you cleanse me. David, that's what David said in Psalm 51, didn't it, John? Cleanse me. Creating me a clean heart. What's wrong with me? I don't want to lie in this pit. I don't want to go back to those slime pits. I don't want to go back to the dung heap. I want to sit among princes. Is that you? That's a sheep. Goats love the hog. Pigs love the hog pen. Sheep don't. Want out? Cleanse me. Oh, my. They all cried. Listen, people. None of you, if you're a child of God, you wouldn't have come out of this world if God hadn't chosen you. You wouldn't be here today if God hadn't chosen you. You wouldn't be here by choice. Mm-mm. You wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't come out if God hadn't sent a preacher to preach the gospel to you. He kept telling Moses. How did He bring these people out? How did He comfort these people? How did He speak to His people? How did God speak to them? God never spoke out loud to one of these Israelites. How did He do it? Through a preacher. He kept sending Moses. Tell them. Tell them again. Moses. None would continue if the Lord didn't keep telling them these things. Now, what did He tell them? Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. The first thing the Lord told Moses to tell the people was, "Fear ye not." Does that sound familiar? How many times have you heard that? How many? You know, our Lord said that to His disciples more than anything else. He was constantly telling them, "Fear not." Why? Why does He keep telling them? Because this world is a fearful place. We have a fearsome enemy. We have a fearsome enemy inside of us that scares me to death. Don't let him have me. Do you say that? Do you say that to the Lord? Lord, don't let this old man in me have me. He had me. I don't want to go back there. Do you? Whew. Isaiah 8. Listen to all these. And you know, I'm my own worst critic. There's not a message I've ever preached I don't go home and grieve over it. How I should have said it or didn't say, or what I said or how I didn't say it, or something I misquoted or whatever. But brothers and sisters, I mean this all my heart. I'm serious about this because it's very serious. It's very serious. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, what the Lord said to these Israelites, He's saying to us right now, if you hadn't been here, you wouldn't have heard this. That's how important it is. If you hadn't been here, you wouldn't have heard this. It's not the same. Mixer is not the same. People use that as an excuse not to come to be with God's people. God won't bless that. Isaiah 8, listen to this. Verse 11. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand. Instructed me that I should not walk in the way of the people, of this people, saying, say not a confederacy. Don't join up with them. Don't be unequally yoked with them. Don't do it. Confederacy. What do you think of when you think of the Confederacy? Rebels. Want to break the Union. They lost, didn't they? Don't say confederacy. Don't fear their fear. Verse 12, don't fear their fear. Whatever the world's afraid of, don't fear it. But be afraid of what they're not afraid of. Who? What?
God.
Yeah. They don't fear God. They don't know God. They don't fear missing God. They don't care.
I fear missing the Lord, missing God, missing salvation more than anything else.
Don't fear their fear. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And you know what he'll be? He'll be a sanctuary. My dog, Abner, he loved me. I loved him. I bought him, taught him, brought him, kept him, trained him. He constantly sitting at my feet. Every now and then he'd run off. Every now and then he'd act like a dog. That's what dogs do. One time I caught him in a pack of dogs. Dogs that were nothing but trouble. And he was right in the middle of it. And all I had to do was call him. I didn't have to call his name. Come. Now all those dogs, one dog came to my feet. Now, you know, he'd come quickly. Like Peter dove out of the boat to get to Christ. Even though he'd gone back. He dove out of the boat. Well, my dog would come running to me, but he looked like he was so contrite. He didn't have a tail, he had a little stub, but he'd tuck that under. He'd hang his ears hanged down. He'd get just as close to me as he could. He knew I should have just whacked him. I loved him. I loved that dog. He knew it. He knew he deserved it. I didn't do it. But he'd get just as close to me as he could, like, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. I don't know what come over me. That's God's people. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Fear not their fear, but fear him. Look at verse 13. Fear ye not the world, these things, but fear God. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Go to Isaiah 30 with me. Isaiah 30. Stand still. Sit still. Be still. That's foreign language to this world today. Sit. That's the first thing I taught my dog. Sit. Lie down. And I taught him to follow me. Heal. If he doesn't, he's going to get in trouble. And he did, most of the time. Every time he didn't, he got in trouble. Okay? But the world is busy, busy, busy. Let's go here. Where are you going? We'll go after this. What are you going after? This is the way. That's destruction. That's what that is. I saw a sign on a man's, this is very revealing, sign on the back of a man's pickup truck along with 400 other signs. Of everything he believed and didn't believe. You know, coexist and, you know. His sign said, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going there as fast as I can. That's the world. That's this world. You know what your strength is? You know what your salvation is? You know where you'll get strength and where you'll get comfort and where you'll get courage and where you'll get faith and hope and be without fear of this world? Sit still. Stand on the promises. What you're doing right now. Look at Isaiah 30, verse 7. Isaiah 30, the Egyptians' help is in vain. They're just men. It's to no purpose. So I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Come. Get out of the rat race. Get out of that cage. You ever seen those rats and hamsters? You ever have a hamster? What's he doing? Why does he stay in that cage? Why does that hamster stay in that cage? What's wrong with him? Look, hey, hamster. Get out of there. You're not going anywhere. Hey, neighbor.
This is an unending circle, a vicious cycle. What are you doing? Where are you going? What are you after? And we come, we sit still, and the Lord says, He brings us out and sits us down. And clothed in our right mind, we hear who God is, what man is, what this world is. See the pits, the traps, the snares. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open. Our eyes are set in the right direction. Our faith is in the right one, only one. It gives us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and peace. And that's my next message. That's Ephesians 1. That's the whole Bible for God's people. Look at verse 15, Isaiah 30. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest. What do you mean returning? We go out in the world, don't we? We go out in the world. We've got to. We're in the world. We're not of the world. How do you know? How do you know God's people? They return. They return. The sheep go in and out. No, find pasture. The sheep. The shepherd lets the sheep out of the fold and they go out there. But what do they do at night? What do? They come back into the fold. That's how you know. That's how you know. So, he said, in quietness and in confidence. You are forced to sit here this morning. Well, I hope you're not forced. Yes, you are. The Lord, in His sovereign power and providence, has made you to sit down like your gracious, the gracious Master He is. He's told you, Sarah, sit, Sarah. Rest, Sarah. Lie down. Vicky, lie down. Shut up. Be still. Stop barking. Listen to me. I'm going to make some wonderful promises to you. In quietness and confidence. We only need to hear one voice. There's so many voices. This noisome pestilence called this world. Everybody's got a voice. And they're all wrong. One person we need to listen to. Is that not right? So we come in here, we sit, and we shut up, and we cock our ears, and we hear the truth from God's Word. He says, now, rest, be still, know I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord over this world. I'm the Lord over you. What a verse. So, listen to this, and I'm going to take a few more minutes. He said in verse 13, the Egyptians whom you've seen this day, your enemies, all your enemies, you're going to see them again no more forever. Does that sound good to you? Does it? Charles Spurgeon asked him, if you could have anything you wanted, anything, what would it be? He said this, without hesitation, he said that I would never sin again. Now that means nothing to the world. To the world that means no more fun. But to God's people, they're vexed with sin like love. Sin without, sin within. They're vexed. I want it out. I want it out of me. Be done with this sin. Sins. The world. The flesh. The devil. I want out. He said, you come. You sit. You be still. Fear not. And you're going to see your sins put away forever. Irene, when this was over, it says they all saw every single Egyptian dead on the seashore. They all crossed the Red Sea, and they all looked back, and there they were. Those enemies that chased them, that adversary that was after them, everything they feared, dead. Can never touch them again. That sounds good to me. But you got to go through the Red Sea. You got to go to the cross.
That's the Red Sea. How is it our enemies are vanquished? How is it that our foes are defeated? How is it our adversaries defeated? He said, this battle's not yours. Look at the next verse. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Say unto them, warfare is accomplished. Christ, John, before he went to the cross, he said, I finished the work. I glorified you on earth. And he prayed for his people. You remember in the garden? Oh, I love you. In the garden, all those enemies came after Christ with swords and staves and lanterns and torches and everything that Herod, Pontius Pilate, could muster against 12 fishermen and their master, 11. And they all came after them, and they all wanted to put them all in jail and kill them all. What happened? In the garden. What happened? Jesus Christ went out in front of them and said, who do you see? He went out. The captain of their went out in front of them and said, who do you see? They said, Jesus. And they said, if you see me, let them go. Peter got his sword out, cut the man's ear off. Why didn't they get him, Mike? Why didn't they grab him, put him in jail? Couldn't. Our Lord just said, you take me, you can't have them. You deal with me. Christ dealt with the forces of evil. Christ dealt with our adversary. Christ dealt with our sin. Christ was made sin. Christ, Calvary is Armageddon. Calvary is where Jesus Christ fought this battle. You and I aren't going to fight no more battle like that. No, he fought this battle for this man's soul. Christ fought it up. And he won. Mm-hmm. Sin's gone, paid for. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you're going to get peace. You say, what about the battle, the struggle we have within? Well, it's not for your soul. It's not for your soul. You can't do anything to save your soul. But we battle with these corruptions, don't we? We battle with the flesh. We battle, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We battle. Look at this. Did you remember the title of this message? Stand still, but go forward. I saw something I hadn't seen before. Here. Look at it. The Lord said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you. You're going to hold your peace. The Lord's going to make peace for you by the blood of His cross. You're going to hold on to Him. Maintain your peace. He's going to give you peace, not as the world giveth. They can take it away. And nothing and no one will take away the peace that Christ made by His blood. Verse 15. Then the Lord said unto Moses, why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Well, which is it? Do we sit still? Or we go forward? I've never seen that before, Ellen. I have, but I haven't. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why we're like little children. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher or whatever. How you learn. Which is it? Stand still or go forward? Which is it? Fight's not yours, but fight the good fight of faith. Which is it? I'm confused. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. But it's both. It's both. The battle is not yours, for your soul. Only one can save your soul, Jesus Christ. But he says, go forward. See, faith is to believe and trust the Lord and the Lord only. That's faith. But we've got to walk by faith. We've got to walk by faith. Faith without works is dead. We've got to live in this world. We've got to go out there. No, we can't sit and just read Scripture all day. Anyway, we can't just be here seven. I wish we could be here 7 days a week. Not go out there somehow. We don't. We can't. What do we do? We've got to go out there. Well, how are we going to get by? same way, looking to him. But see, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're told to go out into the world. We're told to live by faith and trust him and walk in this world. And that's how faith is proved. That's how true faith is proved. You've got these religious people now and in the past that were like monks and lived in monasteries, and people that would try to shield themselves from the world. You got people like the Amish, and they try to keep themselves and their children completely out of the world, not have anything to do with those Englishers. No, that's not what God's people are to do. You see, if God's people are not in this world, there's no use, no need for the world. They're the salt of the earth. They're the light of the world, right? So they're to send, they're to go out into the world as salt and light. They're the only witnesses of God in the world. What good's a witness if they don't go out there? And so he says, now come, sit still, gather your strength, know that I'm the Lord. Be still, fear not, fear not. Now go. Go out there. And we go out there to battle against the world. But Christ won the battle for our soul, didn't he? He did. And we get wounded, and we get down, we get dirty, and we come crawling back to do what? Gather our strength again.